The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The book of Daniel is an example of apocalyptic literature, which is full of strange visions and symbolism. Arising during times of great persecution, apocalyptic literature is concerned with God's revelation about the end time and the coming kingdom of God, when God will vindicate the righteous who have been persecuted. A reading from the book of Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Word of God, word of life. Please join me in the responsive reading of Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you.
I said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above
all. All my delight is in the godly that are in the land. But those who run after other gods
shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup.
It is you who hold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel.
My heart.
I have set the Lord always before me. My heart, therefore, is glad and my spirit rejoices. For you will not abandon me to the grave. You will show me the path of life.
In your
Images of worship and sacrifice are used throughout Hebrews to highlight what Christ has uniquely accomplished through his death. Because we have received forgiveness through Christ's death, we live with sincere hearts by trusting in God's promises and encouraging love and good works from each other. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says the Lord. "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." And then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" And then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
These verses open a chapter known as the Little Apocalypse, and it draws upon the visionary material from Daniel, which has a place in other apocalyptic literature that you heard Magdalena reference in her introduction to the first reading. These references to tribulations and desolating sacrilege and the coming of the Son of Man all derive from biblical imagery. All of these ideas and images predate this word of Jesus and are found in other parts of Scripture. Now, even though this chapter shares aspects of such a worldview, this extended forecast by Jesus is actually a part of his passion story. Jesus' inexorable march to his confrontation with the religious and political authorities that will mean his death pauses for an extended prediction here, given by Jesus to his intimate circle of friends that offers a glimpse of what disciples like you and me can expect of the time beyond the end of the gospel. And I know that was a lot. Thanks for hanging in there with me. And the occasion for Jesus' discourse is the disciples' admiring comments about the temple. And these comments follow last week's story of a widow who places her two last coins into the temple treasury, which in turn follows Jesus' castigation of the religious authorities who devour widows' houses. And that story actually serves as justification for Jesus' prediction that not one stone will be left on another, that they will all be thrown down. The leadership is corrupt, concerned with appearance while drawing sustenance from the poor and powerless whom they ought to be protecting. The temple and its leadership will no longer live off of such people. There will not be left one stone on another. The ability of religious institutions to draw life, or a little more crassly, to suck the life out of people by absorbing their time and money and energy rather than freeing them for a life of service in the world, leads to the prediction of the Jerusalem temple's demise. And the Roman legions literally dismantled, breaking down every building and wall in the entire city in Jerusalem in the year 70 of the Common Era. But Jesus' dramatic sign and prediction of the temple's fate mark only the beginning of the end. The end is not yet. No one knows the precise time of the end except Jesus' Father. And the larger conflict that Jesus' followers are a part of will end only with Jesus' return. Now, one of the things I find striking in this chapter is its somber tone. It's almost a matter of fact. The future the disciples could anticipate would include natural disasters, famines and earthquakes, wars, social dislocation, including the breakup of families and community strife. What a strange counterpart to Jesus' announcement that the kingdom of God is at hand, and his healings and exorcisms with which this story begins. And it also strangely sounds like a summary of the news on your favorite app. Right? Jesus' words are unnervingly realistic. Following Jesus will not provide an escape from difficulties and suffering. In fact, it may make life more difficult. So last Sunday, some of you may know, others you may not, but our organist and cantor Kyle had to leave the service to go tend to his father who was hospitalized in Tacoma. And he died this morning at 8:45. It's not easy for his mother to be without her husband. It's not going to be easy for a son to be without his father. There's suffering there's difficulty, it's not the end, because I know that together we'll surround him with our love and prayers and anything else that we can do. I'll give you updates as they come my way from Kyle. So in the meantime, fill your hearts with love and concern for him and his family. This challenging chapter doesn't offer us any explanations. The world is tied up in a terrible knot and is in a horrible grip from which Jesus is already liberating people. Jesus speaks here of a day when that liberation will be complete, when the Son of Man sends angels to gather his harvest from the ends of the earth. And for all its somberness, however, the chapter is hopeful. The words are hopeful that we might be hopeful. That hope is sounded even in the opening verses. The terrible sufferings ahead are only the prelude to a new day. Jesus says this is but the beginnings of birth pangs. How many of you have ever been in the delivery room? Let's see the hands. Okay. Like the natural imagery on which Jesus draws in the parables about the kingdom earlier in the gospel, in which humble beginnings may conceal the bounty of the harvest that is to come, the unfolding of the world's future is compared to the experience of childbirth. The immediate future holds suffering and agony, but these are signs that God's promised reign is near. A new age is about to be born. In living in such a world, everything depends upon knowing where life is headed. And much of the difficulty in life is due to the bondage of a world that has no room for such a one as Jesus. The temple curtain tears from top to bottom at the moment of Jesus' death. And the history of promise, though hidden deep within a future that looks dark and foreboding, will finally deliver. The sun will rise on a new world when the sun returns on the clouds of heaven to gather us. And all will see it together. In the name of Jesus, amen. God has made us children through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God.
Rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, the church, and all of creation. O God, in the washing of water, you set us free from the power of sin and death. Unite all the baptized in the covenant you have made with us as we strive for your justice and peace in all the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. By your merciful might, you sustain all creation. Stir us from complacency with the harm we inflict on the earth. And urge us to adopt sustainable ways of life that protect and restore our planet. Lord, in your mercy, with a selfless power, you protect all who take refuge in you. As nations rise against nations, defend all who are displaced or affected by war or violence. Empower all people and nations to pursue peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In your presence, you give fullness of joy. Care for all who are anxious about their health and for those who are sick and recovering. Bring them healing and wholeness, especially the family of Cantor Kyle. Be with him and with his mother as they grieve. Also with Almaz, Jen Olson's daughter Ruth, Lisa Kerr's family upon the death of her mother Eunice, and prayers of thanks also for the birth of their granddaughter Isabel. Pray for Denny Alfson, Pastor Dan, Wayne, Leah for healing and recovery, Angie and her daughter Jessica, James Cornett, Allie's friend Sarah, for Kurt, Lisa, and Malachi, for Bill Kavanaugh, for Samuel, Zion, and their mother, for Lisa Kerr's husband Scott, for Heidi's friend's grandchild Beckett, who has a serious health diagnosis, for Almaz's mother, Awatosh, and brother Mulugeta, Matt Bellinger's mother Jean, Sally Wilson's great nephew Finley, Jean McLaughlin, Richard McNeese, Barb, Hildy, and for Sarah, for Grace, her sister, Sheila, and Brian's dad, Joe. For whom else do the people of God pray?
Pray for Dave Fisher from my hometown in Minnesota, who is recovering from a brain aneurysm. Please restore him to full recovery, health,
hear our prayer.
The strength and comfort for my colleague Jennifer, who lost her husband suddenly tragically, just a few months after their marriage.
Lord, we raise all these prayers to you, both the ones we said aloud and the ones we say in our hearts. With thanksgiving, we remember saints and angels who delight in your everlasting presence. As their lives inspire ours, provoke us always to love, holding fast the confession of our hope in you. Lord, in our mercy, in your mercy, we offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
And the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with your neighbor. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the church on earth and all creation, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God.
Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna.
the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given into death for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Knowing that we are loved, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us
our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial,
and deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Come and taste the joy of God.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy.
Faithful God, you have spread before us a feast of rich food and drink in the body and blood of your Son. Now send us out to labor with you in service to the world you have made and among the people you have made your home. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Just a warm welcome to those of you who are guests and newcomers among us. We are richer for your presence. And if you have a moment to join us after worship, please exit the sanctuary door where you'll smell hot coffee brewing and enjoy some sweet treats and rich conversation with us. Wanted to first of all thank Brenna Sage for coming to serve as our organist on very short notice today. Thank you, Brenna. Thank you. Jimmy Porter gave a fantastic adult forum today, and if there are ways to catch up with him and hear more of wonderful stories he shared with us during his time this past summer in Tanzania, just amazing. And you can tell this fine young man who was already a wonderful human being came back even with a very profound experience. And so we look for more good things coming out of his life. Good news, our parish administrator, Barb, will be back in the office. So we're grateful. She is the glue to so many things around here. And thank you, volunteers who stepped in to fill some gaps. I might ask you to keep doing that a little, at least through this week. Her first day back will be on Wednesday, and right, we've got some other moving pieces now we need to tend to around Kyle and his family. So thank you for your service, and we'll just ask you for a little bit more if you're able to. Dr. Lynn, please.
Good morning. 2 weeks from today is Advent 1, and so we are going to be having an Advent celebration after the 10:30 worship in the narthex. We will have crafts and activities for children of all ages, up to 99. If there's anyone past 99, you're still welcome. We will also have seasonal treats. We're encouraging you to bring a treat from your family's heritage or perhaps from your family's tradition. My family has, for my entire life, made homemade Chinese food for Christmas Eve. And while I might not be making you dumplings, I do plan on bringing something that is unique to my family's celebration of Christmas. So while, don't get me wrong, we love lefse, we love yule kaka, you're welcome to bring it, but if you have something unique to your family, sweet or savory, we would love to have you share that with us this Advent. If you have any questions, please let me know. There's a sign up out in the narthex so that we you can maybe see what other people are bringing and fill in accordingly. If you have any questions, again, let me know. We're looking forward to it. It's also Pastor John's last Sunday, so we will be doing a celebration of him at that time as well.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. So my car went kaput last Sunday. I've never heard of this happening before, but spark plug number 3 blew a hole through the manifold. And the video of it by the technician just looks horrible, and it's a mess I can't afford. But I made it to church today. The very same taxi driver who took me to the airport last month to see my mother picked me up again this morning. So I feel blessed. Anyway, for the next couple of days, I'll continue cobbling together my transportation. I've ridden the streetcar. I've taken the link light rail, I've walked a lot, and now taxi. So anyway, I appreciate your understanding and flexibility at this time. I can't think of anything else right now. So please rise as you're able for a blessing. That's what we need. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor, give you peace. Amen.